Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? Since you guys say you're happy, stand up. Stand up. We're going to sing a song. Okay? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, say hooray!
Hooray!
If you're happy and you know it, say hooray! If you're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say hooray.
Hooray!
If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Hooray! If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Hooray!
If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Hooray! Please be seated. Now you're definitely happy, right? Are you thinking about what went on today? No. Are you thinking about the world? No. Because you're happy. You just got rid of the cares of the day. Happiness is a choice. That's the message tonight. So open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 16 and 18, the New King James. And Paul says in verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Be happy. Be happy. Pray without ceasing. Verse 17. Paul doesn't mean constantly, but we are to be persistent and consistent in our prayers. You catch that? Persistent and consistent in our prayers. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. Remember Job? He lost his fortune, his children, his health. And in all of this, he was still thankful for his Creator, his God, the great I Am. When evil strikes, we can also do as Job and still be thankful for God's presence and for the good that He will accomplish through the distress. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, nothing speaks more powerfully in our walk with our Abba Father than continuous thanksgiving. So I'm here to tell you, as Paul says, rejoice always. Be happy. Come on now. It is a choice for us to be happy. There was a man and woman who had been married for over 60 years. The two had shared everything, except there was one secret in their marriage. The wife had a shoebox in the top of her closet, and she had cautioned her husband never to open it and never to ask about it. He never did. But one day, his wife got sick, and it was determined that she would never recover. As they began to sort out her affairs, the husband took down the shoebox and took it to his wife. They agreed that it was time that she should explain the box. When he opened it, he found two crocheted dolls and a stack of money totaling $25,000. He lovingly asked her about the contents. She responded by saying, "Just before we got married, my grandmother told me that the secret to a happy marriage is never to argue. She told me that if I ever got angry with you, I should just keep quiet and crochet a doll." The husband was moved to tears as he looked at the two dolls laying in the box. Only twice in all those years had his darling wife been angry with him. He said, "But what about all this money? How did you manage to save all this money?" "Oh," she answered, "that is the money I made from selling the dolls." The world does a lot of looking for happiness. People are constantly looking for things to make them feel better. There's a lot of money spent by people trying to make themselves happy, and there's a lot of money spent by other people trying to make them happy. You know, and if you type in happiness on Amazon.com, you'll come up with over 2,000 books on happiness. You want happiness? Make Jesus your Savior and read the book, the Bible. Amen? Does anybody remember the theme song from the Partridge Family? "Hello, world." It's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. Traveling along, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving's what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy. That song was written in the 70s. And even as of late, there was a big hit on the radio called The Happy Song. I don't know if you've heard it. It was written by Pharrell Williams, singer, songwriter, producer, star on The Voice. And the chorus goes, "Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy, clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Because I'm happy." Question. If everybody wants to be happy, how come so many people aren't happy? The world has even created its own version of happy. It's called happy hour. Yeah. Happy hour. A created time slot in the day when you just put off the cares and responsibilities of life and get happy. You simply forget about life for a while. You know, some people, in fact, a lot of people, even Christians, could use just an hour, just like that, at church. A time where you let go of everything else, forget about all the stuff on your mind, and simply focus on Jesus. Wouldn't that be something? If we all came to church with one thing on our mind, to just simply focus and praise the name of Jesus. See, too many times we bring what's going on in our lives to church with us. Yeah. It's not enough to carry them with us every other place we go, but to bring them to church. Simply praise the name of Jesus. Focus on Him. That's what we're here for. Because when you go out that door, the world's the same place. And you need filled up with Jesus to be able to go out there and face that world. The burdens of this world will suck the oxygen right out of you if you let them. See, coming to church and listening to God's Word should be like climbing into a hyperbaric oxygen chamber for us. When you climb into that chamber and you get poured into you nothing but the pure word of God. Zip shut. The world cannot come in, cannot distract you, cannot break your attention whatsoever. You can focus directly in on Him, getting filled with that word. That's our hyperbaric chamber, right here. God knew there would be burdens in this world. That's why He made a way of escape for all of us. And that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 29 and 30. Jesus speaking here says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. ERV version, easy to read version. "So I tell you, don't worry about the things you need to live, what you will eat, drink, or wear. Life is more important than food, and the body is more important than what you put on it." He is telling us worry will affect us spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So don't worry. Be happy. It's healthier for you. Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Are you the righteous? Yes, you are. In Christ Jesus. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Give them to Him. He can handle them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." There it is again. In everything. "By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." When we come into the Lord's presence, and it should be numerous times a day, and each time it should be a time of refreshment for our spirit, soul, body, and mind. Only the devil and the world could come up with the idea that the things offered by his world would make you happy. Mr. Osmond, did I get an amen on that? The things you try to think are going to make you happy don't make you happy, do they? Although we experience many things in the presence of the Lord, I would say that the joy of the Lord should be a continual one. Right? Why do I say that? Jan, Nehemiah, he told us that in 8, verse 10. He said, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow, he said. The word sorrow here in the original Hebrew is the word worry. Do not worry, is what he's saying. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But for a lot of Christians, it makes you wonder. If you have so much to be happy about, why aren't you happy? Where's the joy? Joy is happiness. In fact, the dictionary says it's a feeling of great happiness. That's what joy is. Most Christians are familiar with the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Not fruits, gifts, brother. Close. that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 10. But do you know there are many more? Though the exact number is debatable, Charisma Magazine lists 25 spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit that were given to the early church through Him. And He continues to give today. See, I would add, there are all those, plus one more. The gift of worrying. Now, I know it's certainly not a gift. But far too many people are too fluent in its operation. Dean, I thought of you on this one. Someone once said, I'm worried about the economy. My hair is in a recession. My waist is in an inflation. And I am in a depression. Not for that reason. Worry is to be or make anxious, to feel anxious about something unpleasant that may have happened or may happen. See, and I would add, may never happen. How many of us worried about things that never do happen? Worry is when you think the problem is bigger than the promises and power of God, which is never the case and could never be the case. So why would you think of something so ridiculous could ever be possible? Right? It's hard getting used to these.
Amen.
These are the old ones.
Oh, okay.
Sunday morning I come to church and the lenses, I lost a lens on my glasses. So I had to dig these up to preach on Sunday morning, and they won't have my other glasses back. So these are the old ones, and they keep, it's hard getting used to. So, bear with me. Either we do not believe in God's promises, or we do not trust in His ability to act on those promises. You see, it's not about His ability. Rather, it's about our ability to just accept, believe, and trust that He will do what He says He will do. Pastor used this just the other day. What did Jesus tell the ruler of the synagogue when his daughter, they said, was dead? Don't bother Jesus no more. Your daughter's dead. In Mark 5:36, Jesus said to the ruler, do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Was Jesus moved by what He heard? You need to know God never panics. He never stresses. He is never surprised. And He never gets rattled. So why should you? Does Jesus live, Spirit live within you? You're not supposed to be moved by what you see, what you feel, what you hear. Only by what you believe. Is that right, Nick? Can anyone even remember what they worried about a year ago? About a month ago? About a week ago? Or even yesterday? You know, it's kind of funny when you think about it that do you ever sit down and think twice about something after it's been resolved? Do you give it another thought after it's been resolved? Mm-mm. But you worried up to that point. Why did you worry? Well, that tells me that sometimes we have the gift of worry and sometimes we don't. So do we have the ability to turn it on and off? Well, one thing's for sure. When we worry, it tends to override the power of the gift of happiness. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we should be anxious for nothing. 1 Peter 5:7, Amplified Classic. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now that word cares, it's found in the King James, New King James, and the word cares. And in the Greek, the word is mellow, M-E-L-O, mellow. And it means to matter. You matter to God. You matter to God. Think about it for a minute. God, I matter to you. You're going to take care of all those things that concern me because I matter to you. That's what we need to be realizing. We matter to Him. So that's why we are to cast those worries upon Him. Cast those worries upon Him. And the Bible tells us how we can achieve that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, 26, and verse 34, in the Message Bible. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to Him than birds. Verse 34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. That's the Message Bible. So many people miss out on happiness in their life because they are consumed with everything about their life instead of realizing how much thought and care God put into creating the life that they're living. There is not one need that will ever raise in someone's life that God has not already created the provision to meet that need. He is Jehovah Jireh. You need a job? Just trust God. Believe God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will supply that need. Don't even worry about it. Those doors will be open for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, Message Bible reads, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. God, in all His wisdom and perfection, has created an amazing, abundant life that He wants all of us to live and to enjoy. Enjoy, Tim. Mm-hmm. See, the devil and the world has done the exact opposite. They only come to seek, kill, and destroy at all costs, and only cause us to question God's goodness towards us. So rather than question continually, we should be thanking God nonstop. Thanksgiving is expressing gratitude to God for who He is, what He has already done, and what He is going to do. That's the exciting part. In a world that offers only doom and gloom to us, it's exciting to see what God is going to do next. Just think, what's He going to do next in our lives? If we let Him. There's the key. If we let Him. You pray, seeking God, He will direct and lead you. He will direct your steps, make your path plain and straight. How do we know that God is going to keep His end of the bargain? Well, because His Word says so. In Romans 8:28, the New American Standard says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." This verse applies to those who submit to God's will. You will be willing to go along with His plan, right or wrong, and not worry about the outcome. You have to be willing to go along with His plan. Not your plans, His plans. Because I need to tell you, you are in good hands when you are in God's hands. So be anxious for nothing, not one single solitary thing. And when I say that, we're not supposed to just pretend that sickness and all the other obstacles that we face are not real. No. All these things are real. And that's why it's so easy for the devil to use them to his advantage. See, we have to make a choice to worry about nothing. Be willing to pray about everything. Thanking God in advance, knowing that He is able. This means we talk to God about everything that's going on in our lives. Some believe we should only take big problems to God. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think is big to God? He created the universe. He created you and me. Remember, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Imagine when He said, "Sun, be out there, and you'll have enough generated power to just continually burn forever." And the sun's been there just producing and producing. Yet, on this earth, people want to know why. Now they're trying to send things to the sun to find out why it has so much energy. See, none of our problems are too big to God. None. What matters to you and to me matters to God. There is nothing too small or too big to pray about. You can pray about a hangnail. Do you know how many football careers have been ended because of turf toe?
Yeah.
So there's nothing, whatever matters to you matters to God. Can you imagine those football players? I don't know. Some of them, if they would, might have been saved, you think their careers might have ended with turf toe? I question. When you make your request to God, right then and there, thank Him for hearing and answering what's on your mind. God always hears us when we call on Him. Because in Psalm 91, verse 15, you shall call upon me, that's God speaking, and I will answer you. That's God saying, call upon me, and I will answer you. We, though, like to think that He should answer us just as quickly. We prayed. We went that prayer. We drove through the takeout window. Don't work that way. Don't work that way. See, God's timing is not our timing. It never will be our timing. He will always answer just at the right time. Because, you see, His timing is perfect timing. Our Bible tells us to what? Let our requests be made known to God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Message Bible. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks you for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Now, every time I read this, I stop right there because this thought comes. I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago on the news where some woman had her baby in one of those little things and put a live snake in the tray so it could bite the baby to teach her a lesson. What in the world? It was on the news. Did you see it? That was a local person. And I went, that's a sick bird. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get back on track here. Okay. As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing, would you? Well, you're at least decent to your own children. So, don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better? A parent's love for their children is amazing. But it's nothing compared to the love that God has for His children. And we are His children. God only wants the very best for us and nothing less. This is always the way He feels. He never changes His mind. He never wavers on His decisions. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to wait to come to church to experience being happy for the Lord, do we? Nope. With Jesus, it's available nonstop from the moment you wake all through the day till the next, day after day. You see, it's up to us to make a choice. We can have as little or as much as we want in our lives. Let me finish with this final story. It's called Carrots, Eggs, or Coffee. A young woman went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. So she did not know how she was going to make it. Oh, Mom. And she wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as though just as one problem was solved, a new one arose. So her mother took her to the kitchen. She filled three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Soon the pots came to a boil. In the first, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out, placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. Then she ladled the coffee out and placed it in a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she asked, "Tell me, what do you see?" "Carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. Her mother brought her closer and asked her, "Feel the carrots." She did, and noted that they were soft. The mother then asked the daughter to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, the mother asked the daughter to sip the coffee. The daughter smiled as she tasted its rich aroma. The daughter then asked, "What does it all mean, mother?" Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. Each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, and unrelenting. However, after being subject to the boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior. But after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. After they were in the boiling water, they had changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked her daughter. I ask you, which are you? Life is full of choices. Choose to walk in the life that God has given to you and experience everything He has to the fullest. His joy will be your strength to see you through to glory. So I'm telling you, be happy, because happiness is a choice. And if you're happy and you know it, give the Lord a hand clap.